Turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, and let's start with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together. Lord Jesus, we come before you and ask that you would bless your word. Pray that you would give me the words to speak and the clarity of mind to be able to speak the truth. I pray, Lord, that you give us willing ears to hear. I pray if there's somebody in here that's not saved, that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of their salvation. Amen. Their eyes would be opened and they'd understand and believe. Lord, we commend this service into your hands. We ask that you bless it. We do ask that you would remember those of us that are sick and in the hospital and otherwise having physical problems, Lord, that you'd help them today. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a phrase there in the middle of verse 3 where he says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He makes two statements about this spirit of Antichrist. He says, number one, that we heard that it should come. And then number two, that already it is in the world. And so there's two different aspects of this. The first aspect is one that we've actually been hearing about quite a bit because it's been a popular subject among those that are even unbelievers. And that's this Antichrist that's going to come in the end of the age. And there are some that try to reduce it to science fiction and say that there is no one world leader that's going to show up in the last days, that, you know, it's just really something that we've made up and that, you know, kind of a story. But it is in the Bible, and I'm not going to speak specifically about the Antichrist, but I do want you to see this before we carry on. If you'll look real quick in your Bibles at 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, we'll read just a couple of verses here. It says in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that day of Christ, shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I read that verse to you, this particular passage, and I'm not going to expound the entire passage. There's just no way that we have time. Only to make the point that the Bible does foretell of a personality that's going to arise from among men that is going to, at least from the outwards, attempt to solve our problem. He's going to rise up, and he's actually going to deceive people into thinking that he himself is the Messiah, that he's the chosen one of God. And there's a lot of information on the Bible about this one, and there's also a lot of disinformation about this particular individual. And you can see the disinformation all the time by, the popular media and reading, different books and stuff. Everybody's got their own idea. But in the last days, there will rise up one who is going to deceive the nations, and he's going to turn people away from Jesus Christ. So over there in that passage right there in 1 John, we've got a reference to him made there in verse 3, where it says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come. But then he says, even now is already in the world. You know, I'm convinced in reading the Bible that there will be, that things are going to play out like the Bible says they're going to play out. Now, I don't know exactly how they're going to play out. You know, I don't know exactly what countries are going to be involved in what, or the exact identity of the 10 toes of the statue in Daniel, or any, real specifics. But I know that there in the last days is going to be a general trend away from Jesus Christ, a trend that is going to be anti-Christ. And it's going to set up the world for the end in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's something the Bible is also very, very clear on, is that Jesus Christ will come again. Amen. He's actually going to come back physically. Amen. We've got a lot of evidence of it. And I'm not preaching on the second coming either. There's a lot of doctrine in this particular passage right here that we right now are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not science fiction. It's not a myth that's been made up. It's not something that we've concocted out of our own imaginations in order to soothe our conscience. It is a fact. Jesus Christ is going to come back again. Amen. How do we know that? Because this personality, this Antichrist, is written about in the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is written about in the Bible. And the Bible is our authority for what we believe.
Amen.
And I know that there's a general trend away not only from the Bible being the authority, there's a general trend away from anything being the authority. In other words, everybody can believe anything they want, and it's kind of relative. You know, you can look at God one way, I'll look at God another way, and as long as we're happy and we're not killing each other, everything's fine, you know? But that couldn't be further from the truth. The Bible starts out in this particular passage, and John is writing, and he says, Beloved, and he's talking to believers here. He says, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Amen.
I think there's never, and of course I say this, and I've only been alive for 51 years, so I say there's never been a time before where we've had so much deception, but that may not be entirely true. There may have been other times that have been either worse, but it just seems to me that deception and and this spirit, because he's not talking about an individual here, he's not talking about some leader rising up, he says that there is a spirit of Antichrist that is already in the world. And if you consider that, then it'll do a lot to explain some of the things that we go through as Christians. I'm amazed at how many Christians think that everybody ought to treat them with respect, that everybody ought to give them the benefit. I know that right now, here in America, we've got a real trend towards Christian rights. And we got rights, right? we got rights in this church right here. I was just talking with my son the other day, and he was asking, well, what would happen if? And, we have certain privileges and benefits in this church. Do you realize that you have a benefit of being able to give your money to the church, and then that money goes out in its entirety to the destination that you desire? In other words, you could give to a missionary, or you could give to Newspaper Evangelism Fund, and the entirety of what you give goes out to that fund. Do you know that that's a right that was given to you not by God, but by the government? But think about it for a minute. We are a 501c3 status. That's a designation that the government gave us. And this government gives us the right to be able to receive money and not pay corporate taxes on all of that. Plus, well, hey, we don't pay any property tax here. And you realize what property tax might be on a property like this? I mean, just incredible. We don't pay any property tax. That's something else that was given to us by this government. But you know, we don't need those things in order to survive as a church. But somehow we get the idea in our mind that these kind of protections, that these kind of things are inherent rights. They're things that are owed to us. You know, that we deserve respect as Christians. You know, we deserve tax exempt status as Christians, and we deserve all these things. And the truth is that very few Christians that have ever lived have ever enjoyed these kinds of benefits. You realize your brothers and sisters in the world right now are not enjoying these kinds of benefits. If you get saved in Somalia, you're not going to get tax-exempt status on your property. You're not going to get protections on your offerings. There's going to be a lot of things you're not going to get. Go to northern Iraq right now and become a Christian and see what the ruling body in Mosul has to say about it. They're going to run you out of town if they don't kill you first. You see, we in our day and age today, we can be deceived as to what's important and what's not. We might think that there should be this spirit of cooperation between the world and us, but the truth is that all around us there is a spirit of anti-Christ. Anti meaning against or even in place of, and Christ being the Messiah. The Lord that we serve is not loved by the world. Amen. Might seem to be. You might expect it to be. You might expect others to want to give respect to your Lord. But when the true colors come out, you realize that Jesus Christ is not only unloved, but He's hated by the world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ Himself said that. He made it clear to His disciples that the world doesn't love Him, that the world hates Him, and their true colors came out when they had a choice to take Barabbas or Jesus Christ, and they took Barabbas and commanded the jailers and the rulers to crucify Jesus Christ. You see, what we're living in today is we're living in the spirit of Antichrist. We're living in this spirit that does not love our Lord, And I don't know why we expect them to. I don't know why we expect them to be anything else other than what they are. He says there in verse 3, he says right in the middle, he says, "In this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard it should come, and even now is already in the world." Now, he's warning this because he's talking to his believers right here. Because here's the thing. It's one thing for us to believe in Jesus Christ and to try to follow His word and everything, but you know, we ourselves are we're susceptible to the deception that the Antichrist spirits can give us. Consider some things.
Amen.
And I know it sounds weird. I haven't gotten an amen yet. I ain't going to amen the Antichrist. What are you talking about? But look at 2 John. 2 John verse 7, it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." All right, now think about this, because this idea is something that we are constantly being pressured to succumb to. It says right here, anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a deceiver. Now, what it's talking about, and what it's talking about over there in chapter 4, when it's talking about Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God, he's talking about several things. He's talking about Jesus Christ's deity. He's talking about Him coming in the flesh. It's talking about His incarnation. It's talking about it involves His virgin birth. I mean, these are things that are inherently taught in the Scriptures. You see, Jesus Christ isn't just he isn't just a good teacher. He's not on the same level as Gandhi. He's not on the same level as Muhammad. He's not on the same level as Abraham. In fact, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You see, there's something distinctive about Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ is not just a man come up. He is actually God manifest in the flesh, according to 1 Timothy 3:16. And his birth was a miraculous birth of a virgin. There's no way that you can explain it. There's no scientific method to be able to say that this is how it happened. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
So, if you have someone who comes and says that he's not, then what does it call him? Number one, it calls him a deceiver, and then it calls him an antichrist. In other words, against Christ. Aren't we being pressured all the time to accept other religions that have other views of Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to accept them as valid? Doesn't it anger people when you begin to distinguish yourself from others by the testimony of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what verse will bring a lot of reaction and a lot of anger, and that's the verse where Jesus Christ says there in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he doesn't stop there. He says, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you something, Jesus Christ is the only way.
Amen.
It's something that's clearly taught in Scripture. Anybody that says anything else other than that about Jesus Christ is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, there is this spirit of antichrist that's in the world that is doing everything it can, this general, especially in today's day and age. I'm telling you, I've been a Christian since 1982, and I don't remember a time that it seems like in today's society it is more prevalent now than ever, where everything is just, it seems so incredibly turned around, where all kinds of deviant behavior is lifted up and magnified, and things that are good, and things that are godly, and things that are righteous are degraded and do not mention the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I mean, you can pray to a higher power. You can pray to the spirit of the sky and the spirit of the ground. But don't be a high school student getting ready to give your valedictorian speech and then dare to think that you're going to be able to mention Jesus Christ, because after all, that's way over the top. You realize that the sentiment and the attitude now is coming so against the name of Jesus Christ that it's not hard to see. There's several types of deception. I've actually had to study this out a little bit because one of my teenage sons began to study debate in high school, and so he began to have the upper edge on me pretty quick. You know, Dad, that's circular reasoning. What are you talking about? You're restricted, young man. Take that, you know. But he started giving arguments. And then when I would start giving my arguments, he would say, well, you know, Dad, that's this, or Dad, that's that. And you're actually pulling, you know, this or that. You know, I don't care, son, what I'm doing. All I know is I'm trying to make a point. But it did get me to see some things, that how easily someone can be deceived. I mean, how easily you can be led astray. Because doesn't it say in the last days there's going to come, I read it in that passage in 1 Thessalonians where it says, there is going to be a falling away first. The men are just going to ditch out on the truth. They're going to walk away from the truth. And that's happening, by the way, right now.
Amen.
And depending on how you live your life and how you treat the Word, it could happen to you. I've had people, and we've had brothers and sisters in this congregation. I mean, they were strong. They believed the Word. They read the Word. They studied the Word. They prayed over the Word. And then there came a time when they just changed their mind and walked out. There's the obvious one, which is, I'll just list a couple of these types of deception here. One is just plain falsification, and that's passing fabricated statements as if they were true. You know, and Satan did that very well to Eve in the garden. We heard about it in Sunday school with Lyndall preaching about Eve and her deception. And that's just simply making a false statement and then, you know, stating it as if it were true. And boy, have you heard those false statements. Have you heard the false statements that just simply stated that Jonathan and David were boyfriend and boyfriend? I mean, just like as if it were true. Making statements that God would never. You know, I've heard people make statements God would never send somebody to hell. Well, it sounds good, you know. It sounds authoritative, you know. It sounds like it's right, but it's not according to the Scripture.
Amen.
And so if you know the Word, then you know that, hey, that's not right. You got some way to judge that. There's other ways, you know. There's another way that they can deceive. They can just tell you a straight out lie. And I'm telling you something. That's why it's. By the way, before we go on to the next one, that's why it's important that we preach the Word. It's important that we teach the Word.
Amen.
It's important that we publish the Word.
Amen.
Because it's going to be. It's going to be our rock. It's going to be our salvation. It's going to be the thing that stabilizes us. In fact, the advice in the Bible is preach the Word. You know, don't preach your own opinions.
Amen.
And we're in the habit sometimes of preaching our own opinions and our own perceptions, but our opinions and perceptions don't save the soul. Listen, I don't know what it was, but somehow God got a hold of my heart, and when I read the truth, man, it was different than anything I'd ever heard of
Amen.
Before. In fact, people said that of Jesus Christ. They said He speaks with authority. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. I mean, he speaks with authority. It's a little bit different. But then you can get exaggeration, right? You can tell the truth, but in such a way that you exaggerate it a little bit. And I got sucked into that once. I got sucked into this attitude of exaggeration. And I remember a friend, and he was a friend of mine, too. You see, that's what it is. You find somebody you trust, and then they tell you a lie. And this friend of mine says, hey, you, look, man, I'm selling these new supplements now. And this supplement, he says, it cures this and it cures that. He says, do you have this or that? And I said, no, I don't have any problem with that, but I got a problem with this. Oh, yeah, it cures that, too. And then it cures this over here. And then not only that, but it takes all that stuff that migrated down to your belly and it retransforms it and puts it back up above the diaphragm where it once belonged, you know? I mean, it'll change your physique, you know, and you don't have to exercise, you know? And I knew better. But at the time, I wanted to hear it. So I bought a big old bottle of his supplement, you know? And every night I stopped eating at 7 o'clock, you know, and took that supplement at 8 o'clock and did this and that. And I did that for a month. And after a month, I said, nah, this. But that's what it is. And that's how they can sell you stuff. And they prey on your emotions and they prey on what you want and what you desire. You know, if it's in a commercial, it's most likely a lie. I'm serious. Man, if it's in a commercial, I mean, just shut it off because it's most likely a lie. You know, drugs are not the answer to almost anything, you know. Sometimes they are, but we won't get into that. There's another type of deception, and it's the deception of omission. And this is where you leave out some real pertinent facts.
Amen.
Remember, I was sitting right here in the house of the Lord. And I got deceived. A guy walked in and he was doing a little bit of work on the AC. And he says, hey, man, he says, your freon's just a little low. He said, you want me to pump it up for you? Well, yeah, of course, you know, if the freon's a little low, pump it up, you know. I'm thinking in my mind, you know, one little can like goes in a car, you know, and you just plug it in, you shake it up, and you pump it up a little bit, and you're out $12, and that's it. He came back in with a bill of $800. I said, what is this $800? Oh, well, you know, it actually needed about five whatever it was, gallons of freon, or not gallons, but whatever their unit of measurement is. Well, what is it?
Pounds,
yes, thank you. It needed almost 5 pounds of freon. I said, yeah, I understand that, but where's the $800 come from? He says, well, it's $125 a pound. And I gave you a discount. I'm like, really? Now, let me tell you something. I was deceived because I was happy. I was happy because he's going to charge up my freon. And he told me the truth, right? Did he tell me a lie? He didn't tell me a lie. He didn't say that. He just didn't tell me all of the truth. Let me tell you, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what sucks you in all the time. You don't hear all the truth. All you hear is that you can stick that cigarette in your mouth and all of a sudden you're going to be like the Marlboro man, you know? What it doesn't tell you is it doesn't tell you about all the coughing up blood and stuff in the emphysema ward and dying, barely able to catch your breath, you know. There's a lot that's left out of stuff like that. And the devil will do the same thing when he talks about his sin. He'll give you all the stuff right up front.
Amen.
He's going to tell you some good things. And sir, he's going to give you some really good reasons to leave your wife and to go run off with that girl. And it's gonna make sense, you know, and it's gonna seem like it's a solution to your problems, but then you're gonna get down the road and you're gonna find out you're deeper in the hole than you ever were before, and if only you could go back, if only you could reverse that lie, but you were deceived.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we have to be a little cynical about what's being told. But Christians, I'm amazed at how gullible we are. And I preached it before and I'll preach it again since we're still gullible. We got to stop being so trusting, you know. We got to stop being so gullible, like everybody's out for our best interest. You know, I'm telling you what, they're not, you know. Don't you dare look at a political ad and then base your decision on that politician based on a political ad. Because those political ads, they're rough. Yeah. Politician so-and-so goes out and says that he's for, you know, he's pro-life, but as it happens, we found some records that showed one time he voted for funding for this one particular research company that happened to give money to Planned Parenthood. Therefore, and then they make this generalization, this politician voted to kill your babies. Whoa, man, you don't want to vote for anybody that's going to kill your babies, you know? But come on, man. See the deceit and everything that's going on here? I'm telling you something, especially when somebody starts talking about God. Man, get into it. Okay, what do you have to say about Jesus Christ? Where'd you get that? You know, where'd you get that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin? Because I got verses in Isaiah that says that he was. I got verses over here in Matthew that says that he was. I've got it out of Jesus' own mouth that says what he was. And where are you getting your information from? You see, there's a spirit of Antichrist because there is a concerted effort to get you separated from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are other kinds of deception, you know. But one thing's I think really clear. Is that we're real good at it ourselves. You ever heard of self-deception? Bill was preaching last week on self-deception. It's called pride. Deceiving yourself to think that you're more than what you are. We got this deception stuff down. We can, and I tell you what it does sometimes is it puts us into a fog and it doesn't allow us to see things how they really are. Which is why it's so desperate. The need is so great that we need to be grounded in this word right here. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." If you look at Matthew in chapter 24 and verse 15, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Look in verse, not in verse 15, that was another point, but look in verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For many shall come and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And he's talking to his people right here. Listen, there are a lot of false voices in the world, and there's a lot of voices out there that are going to tell you all kinds of things, and you've just got to be a little cynical. I know we sound like we're hate mongers, and we're really not. You know, we're not out to ruin anybody else's life or anything like that. It's just that here's the thing, you know, because somebody said, you know, I made a comment a while back in another group about Joel Osteen, and they're like, come on, man, can't you just leave the guy alone? You know, let things be, you know, let him be what he is over there, and then you do what you want to over here. But see, here's the thing. Here's what makes a difference. If I have a philosophy and then he has a philosophy and that's all there is to it, then yeah, let's just live and let live. I won't mention him. He won't mention me. He stay on his side of the street. I'll stay on my side of the street and everything's going to be fine. But here's the problem is when you get somebody that is not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, then there are ramifications to this. There's consequences to this. Amen. And it goes far beyond me just sitting here and having to write an $800 check out of the church's general fund for Freon. That's just a little bit of money. It was no big deal, and it was done, and I learned my lesson, and hopefully it'll never happen to me again. But listen, you lie to a man about what it takes to get to heaven, and his soul is condemned for eternity.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
The ramifications are huge. They're far beyond what we can imagine. And so false prophets are leading men to destruction. Amen. Now, if I believe that, and if preaching the truth can change that, then why should I go off in my little corner and just stay by myself and just leave well enough alone? I'm telling you, I think God has given us he's given us the command and he's given us the direction to preach the truth in this world.
Amen.
And you say, but you don't understand, these people are deceived. There's no starting point. There's no common ground. There's nothing where we can start. Well, listen, I'll tell you something that somebody told me a long time ago and I had to learn it the hard way. I remember I visited a friend one time who had some things start going on in his brain. Those signals were not lining up right. And he was sitting in a psych ward and he believed that his commander was poisoning the bubblegum machine and was putting this drug in the bubblegum machine in order to control the entire battalion. And I thought I was smart. I thought I was going to solve his problem. And I says, yeah, but we found out about it, and we took the gum out. And he looks at me and he says, I knew it! I knew it was poison! I mean, it was just, I made a huge mess. I got into a lot of trouble. They said, why did you tell him that? I said, well, I just thought trying to make things better, you know. I just trying to, you know, get him to relax about the bubblegum machine, you know. But, oh, it didn't work. It made things mad. And I wasn't the favorite of the psychologist there. And it was actually a lost psychologist who told me something that was true according to the Bible. He says, you know what we do when somebody's in delusion like this? We tell the truth. We don't try to justify it. We don't try to explain things. We simply state the truth. And he says, the best thing you can do with a man in that position is say, sir, there's no drugs in the bubblegum machine. You just state what's true. And you state, you know, I'm telling you, that's something that we have to, we just state what's true.
Amen. Amen.
You know what my job is? Is to state what's true about Jesus Christ. Because nobody else is telling him what's true. Here we are huddled in our corner and we're backed off because it seems like the opposition is so great and you're not allowed to mention Jesus Christ at work. You're not allowed to mention Jesus Christ in your speech. You're not allowed to do this, this, or that. And I'm not saying go hog wild and lose your job or anything like that. But I'm telling you, the world needs to hear what we have to say about Jesus Christ. Because there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world today, and it is systematically shutting down the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
It's going to continue to do it. And I'm not really so concerned about my rights. I'm not really so concerned about, and neither should you, about how your life is, but you ought to be real concerned about how you're representing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In this cold and wicked world. Look at 2 Thessalonians. I know where I want to go. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 1. And I'll emphasize one more time why this is so important. I actually just ditched part of my outline, so this may seem a little disconnected, but I think I can tie it in. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren," he says, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." So this message, this gospel message, is one whereby we can be saved. Look at verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then it begins to talk about some of the witnesses that saw him and brings in other evidence and other proof. But this is a real simple thing, and there's some that have actually labeled this verse right here as the gospel in a nutshell. And these are the issues, you know. There may be other issues out there that you can go back and forth on, but these are the issues. These are the things that really matter. And there's three things here. When he says, "I delivered unto you," first of all, there in verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This makes it real easy to remember this and to keep this in your mind. Think about this. There's three elements. Christ, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and that's the work of Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures. And that's the authority of Jesus Christ. And so you've got the person, the work, and the word of Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing that these three things right here are what the battle is all about. There are a lot of secondary issues that are a waste of time, that are good issues, but that are a waste of time. It's a waste of time for us to go down to City Hall and try to battle for Christians' right to display a manger scene. I mean, come on, we won't even get into the fact that we shouldn't be displaying a manger scene anyway, but that we need to find out wherever there's poverty and we need to wipe it out. Or we need to make sure this abortion thing is off the map and people stop doing abortions. I mean, you look at a lot of these issues are pretty good. I mean, who wouldn't want somebody that doesn't have a meal to get a meal? I mean, it's not that we're anti-poverty. And who wouldn't want if the world stopped killing children before they were born? It'd be a great thing. But the issue is Jesus Christ, what he is, what he did, and what his authority is. That is the issue right there. And the spirit of Antichrist is deceiving the world in these very things right here. They don't want people to know that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. So what do? We reduce him down to a prophet. Now, how in the world can we stand by while other people reduce our Lord Jesus Christ down to a prophet? Well, you know, you ought to accept, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they want to be brought in, you know, the other groups, they want to be brought in and be part of Christianity and all be part of the fold. But listen, we got to test the spirits, whether they're of God.
Amen.
I want to find out, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And believe me, they are deceptive. I had two Jehovah's Witnesses on my doorstep once when I was a young Christian. And I said, hey, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? And they said, well, of course. And I came back to church and told the brothers, hey, they said that Jesus Christ was the Savior. They said, yeah, but look at what else they say that they don't say about Him. You know, they're omitting some things that they're not willing to believe about Jesus Christ. And so, you have to test the spirits, Amen. What they believe about the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Who do you believe that He is? Do you believe that He's who He says He is? Because if not, then you're listening to the spirit of Antichrist. It doesn't matter how good you are. I don't care how moral you are. I don't care how well you're appreciated in your circles. I don't care any other factor. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah, the one that God sent in order to take our sins, then you have the spirit of Antichrist. That's just all there is to it. He said, well, how can you call other churches? I'm telling you, if you believe that you got to work yourself to heaven, then you're denying the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you why He came. He incarnated into a human body. He lived here on this earth. He died as a sacrifice for our sins. Amen. The Bible says that He didn't sin one time. Amen. He was perfect. When He died on the cross, He died as a substitute for you.
Amen.
And so when you say, you know something, we still got to do this over here. Hey man, you still got to meet on Saturdays if you want to be saved, or you got to do this over here if you want to be saved. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
It is denying the very work that Jesus Christ came to do. You deny His person, who He really is. You deny His work, what He came to do, and that's to save you from His sins. And then the one that they do all the time is you just deny His authority. You see, I think we're the most blessed among all because we have an authority. Jesus Christ is the authority. The Word of God is the authority. And there have been many that have started reading this book right here with a view to disprove it and ended up being convinced by it. There was a guy, and I read his book. His name was Lee Strobel, and he was an investigative journalist. And he went and decided that he was going to prove that Jesus Christ really didn't raise from the dead. Well, by the time he got done, he had completely changed his mind, and the Lord had touched his heart, and he believed with all his heart.
Amen.
Listen, don't get sidetracked with other issues.
Amen.
Don't let anybody deceive you into thinking that these three things right here are not important. These are all important. And without this, we have no salvation. Without this, we have no resurrection.
Amen.
Without this, without the work, without the person of Jesus Christ, without the work of Jesus Christ, and without the authority of Jesus Christ, then you and I, we've got nothing. This is all there is. And the reason why it's so important is because this is where the salvation of the soul is found. It's not found in transcendental meditation. It's not found in being kind to your neighbor. You can love your neighbor all you want, and I'm sure your neighbor's going to appreciate it, but it doesn't absolve you of your sin. It doesn't clean your soul. It doesn't save you. But Jesus Christ came to save anybody that would call upon His name. And I know He's unpopular now today, and I know He's slandered on every corner, and nobody believes Him anymore, and He's kind of a thing of the past. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Amen.
And He's still willing to save you today if you're willing to call upon His name. I want to pray for you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I haven't even asked for any hands or tried to identify anybody, but Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, you know everything about us, and you know, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved. And Lord, we pray for them right now. Lord, that they'd be able to see through all of the lies and the deception that the world has to offer, that they'd be able to see through this spirit of Antichrist that seems to be raging now in our world today. And Lord, they'd see you to be the true Savior. Lord, that they see you to be the one who you said you were. And Lord, that today that their eyes would be open and they'd call upon you and they'd ask you to save them. And Lord, thank you so much that you've showed us the truth.
Amen.
Lord, help us to study the truth. Help us to defend the truth.
Amen.
Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the truth. Lord, the world is bold and the spirit of Antichrist is bold. Help us, Lord, to be even bolder. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.